Welcome back to Tip TV Finance with my co-host, who is Charlie Gibson, head of mining at Edison Research, and Mark Oswald, a strategist for ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Mark?
All good.
Have you recovered from eating lunch with me during the week?
Yes, very enjoyable lunch that was too.
It's always good when somebody else pays.
Oh, absolutely. The best.
And when you recover delicious. Within 2 days as well.
It was delicious, it really was. So on that note, Jackson Hole today.
Yep.
Are we expecting any surprises?
Not really. I think the risk is that the markets pump themselves up for this rather too much in terms of there's going to be a signal about what they're going to do during the rest of the year. First of all, it's always been about long-term considerations. Secondly, as much as there is a mythology about Bernanke speaking at Jackson Hole, only once in 10 years did he actually give a signal about what was going to happen with policy, and that was the Operation Twist. Other than that, he was basically just regurgitating a lot of what they were going to do. So what's Ms. Yellen going to do? Well, first of all, we know from the fed-up bun fight that they had last night, which was meant to be basically an opportunity for FOMC members to go and meet the public.
What could possibly go wrong?
And they came across the fed-up activists, and instead of listening, as they said, they found out that there are a lot of questions. They revealed, I think, that the interesting aspect of it was what Vice Chairman Fisher said, and that was, we are having a very active discussion about an overheating economy. Now, I don't think there's many people in financial markets who would describe the US economy as an overheating economy. Secondly...
So that sounds quite hawkish.
And he's made comments of late. Last week, he was basically emphasising the fact that he thought they were within touching distance of the 2% inflation target.
He is one of the hawks, isn't he? Who comes out of the woodwork every now and then.
He's in the middle. Sort of. I'd call him more in the middle. But what it really emphasised is they are very divergent in terms of their opinions.
But that's the thing about the way the Fed has been working with in the Yellen era. When there's good data, then the hawks start speaking. Mm. And when there's bad data, then she starts speaking. But it's a multi-headed monster.
It is,
which doesn't really have any consistent rhyme nor reason.
I
agree with the fed-up people.
Yes. As I've said before, the problematic with data dependency is you all have to be singing roughly from the same hymn sheet. I'm not sure they're even in the same hymn book, most of them.
And they don't. So it's just literally that there's a left-hander there and a right-hander that don't...
No.
It's brought out for different occasions.
Yes. So what we're looking for, people will be hoping for some short-term signals, which I don't really think they're going to get. I think she'll talk up the economy.
May I just to devil's advocate here a little bit and say I think the danger is, however, that the market may read something that was entirely unintended a slight inflection of the voice or a comma here or a comma there, and the market will press upon it and say...
Precisely the point I was about to come to. She's going to be talking about long-term aspects of the Fed's toolkit. And that's where the risk lies, that she talks about something in terms of a 2-3-5-year time horizon, and markets jump all over it because they think that's something which is going to happen in the next couple of months.
So a normalisation of interest rates, for instance.
Well, reducing the Fed's balance sheet. There's still a long-term discussion about... when or if they are ever actually going to do that. And they clearly need to readdress what their original plans were because they don't seem to be suitable anymore. I think the other thing she's going to be talking about is should the Fed change either its targets, for example, for inflation, a suggestion made by Mr. Williams, which I suggest she'll lean against. Should they include macroprudential considerations? Now, the macroprudential considerations in outright terms from a domestic standpoint, probably not. However, we do know that the Fed talks a lot about international developments. And when they talk about international developments, I think the market thinks, they're worried that international developments, be that China, Europe, whoever, Brexit, is going to mean the S&P 500 is going to go down, and therefore they can do another back and switch. Actually, what I think they're mainly worried about is negative feedback loops into the US financial system. That's really their major point of concern. Yes, the US banking system's in a lot better state than it was 8 years ago, thanks to TARP and TALF, above all, more than quantitative easing. But they are concerned that with so much borrowing around in the world, and a lot of it in dollars, that if you suddenly have a sell-off in emerging markets where spreads are enormously tight,
bank could go down, which would all affect a US bank.
Exactly. And then suddenly the Fed needs to be all hands to the pumps, and tightening doesn't, you know, goes out the window. But that also means they're painting themselves into a corner where they're almost paralyzed by every single concern that they could have. And so they have a massively asymmetric bias in terms of policy making.
A couple of slides to look at.
So yeah. Should the Fed not actually make these pronouncements in public? Should it just act, you know, have the meeting, come to the decision?
I think in terms of the mollycoddling that we've had for the last 8-9 years, they need to back away from that. We need to go back to... So that's where normalisation really starts to happen. Here, just for an indication, we have managed to sort of scrape off the floor. You know, just after the Brexit referendum, we'd reduced the chances of a rate hike this year to zero. Now we've got it at 32% for September, 37.8% for November, which would be too close to the election, so I'm not sure actually why that one's not lower. And above 50%, close to 60%, which is sort of a bit of a tide mark for the December meeting. So the market is basically saying we are going to get a rate hike probably in December at the moment. That will change quite sharply, without a shadow of a doubt. I think the other chart is a particular point of interest because some people have been over-interpreting this. They've tried to take it as an indicator of what the market's discounting in terms of Federal Reserve policy. It's a 3 months US dollar LIBOR rate, which has been creeping up because we have a whole load of money market reforms coming in October, and that's driven the rate up. It could get to as close to 1%. It's not, I repeat, definitely nothing to do with market rate expectations. You can have a look at the OIS chart at the moment, which, you know, the 3 month overnight index swap rate is about 40 basis points lower, which indicates basically the market's not really discounting very much. In fact, on that basis, they're only discounting the chance of about 20 basis points of rate hikes over the next 12 months. So there are a lot of disconnects.
So what's going on with LIBOR, dare I ask?
Yeah.
That you get we're getting this divergence. And
you're basically getting a huge drop in demand for certain types of paper products, money market type products from money market funds due to reforms in the money market sector. And because of that, you've then got this problem that those money market type instruments, obviously not bid because of that, which is driving the rates up, which is, on the other hand, creating problems, above all, ironically, for the Japanese, who now do, Japanese banks now do about one third of their lending abroad, which is enormous on a proportionate basis. And they're finding that their funding costs are going up. And that's another thing which the Fed does have to take into account, but there's really not a lot.
Because they're lending in dollars.
Well, because they're lending in dollars, and that has an impact on US money markets. And there are, therefore, consequences of that for open market rates as opposed to Fed-dictated rates.
But in summary, market not discounting a rise?
Not enough. I think the biggest risk lies that the Fed probably goes sooner rather than later, and we get a bit of a jolt, particularly to what one would call happy summer markets, as they've been largely.
Mark Oswald, strategist for ADM Investor Services, thanks very much for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.